And then we'll listen to the word of God. Lord, thank you for
Glenn.
As a church, we want to open our hearts to what you've given him to share with us.
We're
not just opening our hearts to a message. We also open our hearts to the man you've sent. Thank you for
Glenn.
Will you bless him? And may he feel your pleasure as he preaches. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Am I on? Am I connected? Hello? Power me up. Hello there. Which is on? The light's on, but no one's home. Testing? Testing? Is it me? Maybe it's my wire. Testing, hello, hello. Lights on. Screen, screen, hello, hello. Okay. Testing, testing. Are we in? Are we in? Great, there we go.
Hi.
Cool, well, thank you so much.
So to betak.
It really is a great privilege to be back in Madagascar. As Kim said, it has been a tough time for us at our church in South Africa. And so I really want to thank you for all your prayers that you've been praying for us while we've been going through
it.
It's wonderful to know we have brothers and sisters all over the world that are praying for us while we're going through tough times. And I also want you to know that we've been praying for you guys. We love you guys, we really, really do, and the work that Pete has been doing in Madagascar really has our hearts with you. And so I don't come as a guest speaker. I come as a friend and as a neighbor. And my wife, Gregan, she came to Madagascar 10 years ago. And she fell in love with this country. And so I've promised to her that I will get her back here sometime soon. So as Kim said, I do have four children. My oldest son, his name is Aaron. He's now 8 years old. And when he was four, he heard about Madagascar. And ever since he was four, he's been saving up all his money so that he can come to
Madagascar.
Our family thought that was a great idea, so they started giving him money to get here. But when they realized how much money it was, they started slowing down. And so when Aaron was 6 years old, I told him he should maybe go and try and make some money himself. So he took all the money that he had and he bought a candy floss machine. And so since he was six, he's been hiring out his machine to try and make more money to get to Madagascar. And at the end of last year, he was just a little bit short. And he started saying, it's just too hard. He doesn't want to do this anymore. And just when he said that, a little wooden chameleon arrived in the post. Which was sent by our good friend Tuj over there. And with the message, don't give up on your dreams. And so I can say today, Aaron has enough money to get to Madagascar. So I'm making plans next year to bring him with me. When he heard I was coming without him, he was very sad. But I did promise him I will bring him next year, so you will meet him next year. Great. And I just want to let you know that Peter Howard Brown sends his love. His Madagascar is very deep in his heart. He's made trips out to here. He's been here more than 50 times. So he loves you, and we are trusting that he will come back. Great. So what I want to talk about today is about knowing God and making Him known. As a church back in South Africa, we were seeking out God as to what He wants us to do and how He wants us to work out our church. And so we looked at who we already were as a church. And we looked at what we believed God wanted us to be. And we took both of those and we stuck them together and we realized that God wants us to know Him and to make Him known. As you journey through Scripture, through the 66 books which are written by 39
authors,
and it's written over 1,500
years,
you continually see God making Himself known to people. And continually telling us as people to make Him known to the next generation. Our God wants to be known by you and me. I understood my need for God about 11 years ago. About the same time that I met my wife, Gregan. And over those 11 years, I think I understand God more than woman. And so God has really begun over the years to reveal Himself more and more and more to us. And we've realized that our job is to tell our children who God is. And we've been amazed at just how much our children actually know God. One evening I was talking to my son Aaron. And he said to me, Daddy, do you realize that God speaks to me in my heart and in my thoughts? And he's 8 years old.
He's never for Falton.
And it made me understand that God wants to be known even by 8 year olds. Which made me realize that I can also get to know God. And God doesn't just want us to know about Him, He wants us to know Him. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
tuk fa sivia an
Proverbs 9 verse 10.
Wo pula na tuk fa sivia din fa ful dem laza. Laza wen fa tawaran an Jehovah fan du apa endren.
So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Jesus is continually highlighting the importance of us getting to know God. When he says to us that this is eternal life. That you know the only true God. And Jesus whom he sent. So he's saying that it is eternal life to know God. It's not just a good idea. It's not just something that maybe we should do. Jesus is saying it is eternal life to know God. And Jesus Christ, whom he sent. And the reason he says, and Jesus Christ whom he sent, is because it's impossible to know God without knowing Jesus. So the question I need to ask you is the question I needed to ask myself, which is, do you know God? Can I, after 11 years, say confidently that I know God? And so you need to ask yourself that same question. So when it comes to knowing God and Jesus Christ, there's a point of coming to know him. And there's a process of getting to know him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so when we get to that point in our lives, there's a point where we get to know God. The first step of taking God takes no effort. It simply requires us knowing that we need God. It takes us knowing that he is holy and we are not. It takes us knowing that he is perfect and we are not. It means us knowing that he requires us to be holy, but we're
not.
But the good news is that we are unable to be holy. We are unable to be perfect. And so the good news is that we just have to trust in Jesus. Who is perfect and who is holy. And by acknowledging him as our God. By repenting from our sins. Which is turning away from a life that doesn't honor God. And just receiving what Jesus did on the cross with faith. It is incredibly easy. It is incredibly simple. And it happens instantly. The moment we put our trust in Jesus. But then there becomes a process of getting to know Jesus. Jesus' disciples had been walking with him for 3 years. And they asked him, show us God. Just show us God and it will be enough. We know you, Jesus. We know we've been walking with you, but just show us God and it will be
enough.
And Jesus says to them, have I been with you for so long? And still you do not know who I am. He says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Knowing Jesus is knowing God. And like I said, it is impossible to know God without knowing Jesus. Because Jesus is God's solution for mankind. And getting to know Jesus is like a marriage. There's a point when you get married, but then there's a process of actually getting to know your wife or your husband. The day arrives when you just know, I have to spend the rest of my life with this person. And then as the years go on, you begin to understand them more deeply. You understand what pleases them. You understand what makes them angry. You understand what irritates them. And you understand the characteristics and the aspects that make them special. You know them, but then you really get to know them. And that only happens by spending time with your spouse. And that is what getting to know God is like. It's spending time with Him. Getting to know God more intimately takes time. It takes a commitment to Him and to His ways. It takes a sensitivity to understanding and hearing His voice. The Bible calls it seeking God out. And all the biblical references to seeking God out are directed at the church, to you and me. So those who've already said, Jesus, I want you as my Lord. He's saying, okay, but now seek me out and get to know me. So I want to ask you again, do you know God? Do you seek Him out? Do you try and seek God out for yourself? And not just know God through someone else who tells you about Him. Right from the beginning, God wanted to walk with you and
me.
He wants to have a real relationship with you and
me.
God is not just a good idea or just a theory. He is a person who knows you intimately. And He wants you to know Him intimately. I trust that in the next few minutes, we're going to all have an answer to that question. Do you know God? So I want to turn to Matthew 28. It's a portion of scripture that many of us will know. And it's called the Great Commission.
Aristia den antsuina welei afatra lebe.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Verse 19.
The reason we know this portion of Scripture so well is because it answers the question that we have when we come to Jesus. What am I supposed to be doing with my life? What am I here for? What do I need to do? That is the making him known part. Go and make disciples. Go and tell people about God. But what I realized is that in the 15 to 20 times that I've heard this scripture preached, I've missed the verses that come before and after. Which goes like this. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Ar Jesus nanantuna den ten tam kanana hoe efa nomenany fa efana rehetra any an-danitra sesy an-tany koa mandeha any nareo dia ataovy mpianatra ny firenena rehetra manao batisa azy ho amin'ny anaran'ny Ray sy ny zanaka ary ny fanahy masina sady mampianatra azy hitandrina izay rehetra nandidiko anareo ary indro izao momba anareo mandrakariva ambara-pahatonga amin'ny fahataperan' izao tontolo izao.
So we here go make disciples. And we think to ourselves, where am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to do that? That person that I work with, I can't just go tell them about Jesus. That member of my family who's been around forever, I can't just go and tell them about Jesus. But the commission that God gives us to go and make disciples, he starts off with, Jesus has all authority. And so when we're asking, how do I go and tell them? God is reminding us, don't worry, Jesus has all authority. All authority of God has been given to Jesus. And so the degree to which we understand how amazing Jesus is is going to help us with the way we go and tell people about Jesus. And so if we think we have a little Jesus, we're not going to go and be able to tell people about him. Because we're going to be embarrassed with him. He's going to be like that part of the family that no one ever talks about. But if we understand that Jesus is amazing, that all power in heaven has been given to him, that he is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords, that every single knee will bow before him one day, that every tongue will say, Jesus, you are Lord. If we know that big Jesus, then we can go and tell our friends and our family about him. But me telling you just how amazing Jesus is, it's not enough. You need to know how amazing God is. You need to know Jesus. And that only comes from spending time with Him. Do you know Jesus? The degree to which you know that Jesus is King is the degree to which your thoughts are going to change. It's
going
to change the way you do your work.
It's
going to change the way you talk to your family.
It's going to
even change the reason you work. Jesus is saying it is so important for you and me to know Him personally. And so it's not right for us to be going to tell people about Jesus and being all scared and all shy. And so I had to ask myself once again, do I know this Jesus? And do I know God? And you know what I realized? I realized that I know at least an aspect or a part of God. And so the example that I can think of in my life is God being a father. My father did his very best to raise me. But he didn't teach me much about God. We weren't part of a church. And he didn't know Jesus. He only began to walk with God later on in his life. Near the end of his life. But over the last 8 years, I am more and more discovering what God as a father means. And it's become a major thing for the way I view the world and I view God. And many years ago, a man spoke over my life. And he said, I would be a father of many. I have 4 kids, so I think I need to have another 4. Because that is many. And I thought to myself, a father. I'm going to be a father. I want to be a pioneer. Or an adventurer. Someone who's going to change the world. I thought, father, so boring. Until I discovered something about God. That the number one way that he describes himself to us is with the word father. And so that has just changed. I was suddenly, wow. There's far more to the word father than I ever thought. And that's only because of the example that I saw of what a father was. But God is saying, you need to understand what a father is from me. And so the way I see God as a father has changed the way that I am a father. I'm not a perfect father. But with God's help, I'm doing okay. And And so with God, I've seen how like a father, God wants the very best for me. I've seen how God always thinks the very best of me. I've seen how God just forgives and then moves on when I ask him. My children have helped me to understand what a father should be. My little 4-year-old girl, when I was busy studying and reading the Bible, she came and crawled and sat on my lap. And she just lay there reading her book. And as I sat over her, I suddenly understood how God views me. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to say anything. I can just sit on his lap and do what I'm doing, and he just looks at me with love. My oldest boy, who's now 8,
Aaron.
I was preaching a few weeks ago. And I said, good morning to everybody. And I know it never happens here. But only one person said good morning back. And you know who that little voice was? My boy Aaron. And so through all the crowd, my eyes just looked right to the back where he was sitting. As his little voice said to me, good morning, Daddy. And I realized that for each one of us, God looks through the crowd and his eyes set on us just by us saying, good morning, Daddy. That is the God who is our Father. And then my 6-year-old son, Seth, he loves to play sports. He loves to tell jokes. And he loves to just mess around all the time. And he's always playing jokes on me. And you know, I just love him for that. And the amazing thing about all those 3 children is that they're all very different. And my little 2-year-old is even more different to the 3 of them. But all of them can come and be with
me.
All of them are special to me in different ways. They're not afraid of me. Even though I need to discipline them every now and then. But they're not afraid of me. And that is how God wants us to be with him. What a different God Jesus has shown us. What a different way to describe God and Jesus like I've just described him as a father. Rather than a boring story that we don't really know, but we know we should be telling people. It's so much easier for us to tell people about God when we know him. And my story is that I know God as a father. You have your story. God has taken you through things in life. that help you to understand what God is like.
And that
is the story that God wants you to tell. God wants to encourage everyone here today that you do know Him. But He wants you to know Him more. He wants you to hold on to that story that you have of Him. He wants you to grow it. He wants to show you more of who He is. And He wants you to be aware of Him every single day. My life begins to take shape. By who I know God to be. And so we blame God. Because we don't really know Him. We say, my dad didn't love me, he abused me, and he, God, why didn't you stop him? But if we knew God properly, we would know that He allowed His Son to be abused. And He didn't stop it. Because He wanted to show you and me the greatest love. We continue in our sinful ways. Because we don't really know God. We say, it's fine, God will forgive me, I can just do it again tomorrow. But you know, God is also a God of justice. And He poured out that justice on Jesus. If we knew God, if we knew Jesus, how much He suffered for you and me, we would stop walking in our sinful ways. It's not by your and my efforts of trying to be better. It's from knowing Jesus. How do you and I love people who aren't very lovable? We know that God loved us when we were very unlovable. How do I forgive someone when I know that they should get justice? By knowing the grace of Jesus and His forgiveness for us. When my dad passed away, he passed away in the same week that Aaron was born. My father went from his house past the hospital. He held Aaron in his arms. And then carried on driving through to Cape Town to his hospital, where he died 2 weeks later from cancer. And so in that week, I saw a child being born and somebody dying. And I could be very angry with God for not allowing my children to grow up with a grandfather. But it's only knowing that life and death belong to God. They are His. And He is a loving God. He would not purposefully try and hurt me unless it was good for me. And And it's only knowing that about God that got me through that week.
And
when we ask, how can I keep giving more to people? How can I keep giving more time? How can I keep on helping people when I don't feel like it? It's when we understand that Jesus continued to be generous with his time and with his life when he saw the cross and didn't feel like it. But he said, it's not my will, God, but I will do whatever you want. And this is all found in Jesus Christ. All our understanding of God, all our knowing God is found in Jesus Christ. And so the first part of our being able to go and tell people about Jesus is knowing that he has all authority. And the second part that closes in verse
19
is that Jesus himself is with us. He says, even to the end of the age. To know that Jesus has all authority. And at the same time, he's with us all the time. Is what helps us to get to know him. And to make him known to other people. We can't tell people about a God that we do not know. So rather than do you know God, I want to ask you, what do you know about God? Who do you know God to be? And whoever you think God is, he's even more than that. He's infinitely more than that. But he wants you to know him. And so you ask, well, how do I get to know this God? I don't always hear his voice, and it's really difficult sometimes. Well, number one is to remember that you can do nothing to be saved. That on the cross, Jesus did everything. And because of that, you can know God. Secondly, we read scripture, we read the Bible. We read this, but what Jesus said is that it's not just about this book. He said this book must get us to him. We don't read the scripture to know the scripture. We read scripture to know Jesus. And so Jesus says we must get to know scripture so that we can get to know him. How else do I get to know God? It's through obedience. Jesus said, whoever has my commandments and listens to them, it is him who loves me. When we obey God, when he talks to us, firstly, it's good for us. And secondly, it glorifies God. And so we ask, why do we have to do all these things that the church says we should be doing? If God has said we should be doing them,
Then it will
be good for you and me.
Then it will be good for you and me. How
else do I get to know God?
Ask
Him.
Ask Him.
He says He wants to be known, and if you ask Him, He will reveal Himself to you. And being part of a church is a great gift to us from God. We get to seek Him out together. When I'm having a bad day, Kim reminds me just how good God is. And when Kim's having a bad day, I remind him of just how good God is. The people sitting next to you are a gift to you from God.
And
so He wants us together to get to know Him too. The second last way of how do I get to know God?
It's
just to listen. Sometimes we talk so much to God that we don't listen. We talk, and when God's trying to talk, we're still talking. And so sometimes it's good for us just to be quiet and to listen to what God is saying. And the last thing I want to say of how do I get to know God more is to know that He wants to know you more than you even want to know Him.
Bebe kukua, miota lavta nun nirterto te alalas bebe kukuaz.
It's like a marriage.
Wotan le fanambatini.
It takes time.
Man misftona lani wanatan san.
It takes time.
Mandan fton.
And it takes more time.
Arumbula mandan ftona pefonayan.
If you want to know God, you need to make time for Him.
Rate afantatanante mante no de manukana ftona wazi.
Paul writes to the church in Philippians. And he says, all the good things in my life. The families. The finances that God has given me. The incredible gifts God has given
me.
He says, I count all of that as loss. For the incredible worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. He's saying it is more important to know God than to have anything else in your life. And as you get to know Him more, you'll realize that for yourself and not just have to hear that from Paul. So as you increasingly get to know God, you'll increasingly be able to make Him known. And I want to encourage you that the King of Heaven is here to help you do it. Can I pray for us? Father God, it is such a privilege for us to be able to have a relationship with you. Lord, you are just so majestic. You are so incredible. That sometimes we can't understand why you want to know us. But God, you love us. You love us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us. And God, because of that, we can get to know you. We know that it takes time to get to know you.
And
we know that you have given us so many good things. But sometimes those good things mean we don't spend time with you. And so I want to pray for all of us that you would make yourself known to us. That you would help us to make time for you. Holy Spirit, would you give a desire in our hearts to want to know you more? Lord, we want to count everything else in our lives as loss. Because it is so good to know you. Thank you that you've been with us even before we were born. Thank you that you've been shaping us throughout our lives. You've been shaping the way we think. So that we can know you more. So would you open our eyes? That every day we may see things through your eyes. That everything that happens in our day would help us to understand you more. We want to know you, God. And knowing you as our King and our Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Help us to know you as God. Help us to know you as Father. Help us to know that you love us. Help us to know that you are merciful. Help us to know that you are faithful. Even when we are unfaithful. You are a good God. And we want to know you more. So help us to do that, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.